If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this Lord's Day, it is indeed a joy to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given to us another day of worship, another opportunity to serve Him. I trust that all over this city and all over this county and around the state of Texas and across America and around the world that men everywhere today will acknowledge that God is still on His throne. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Everything that we have today we owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we have as a nation, as a state, as a city, as a church, as homes and families, as individuals, we owe to Him. The Bible declares that in Him we live and move and have our being. And Jesus Christ once said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So my beloved friend, as you listen to this broadcast today, I trust that there would be a resolute determination in your own heart and in your own mind that you will put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life today, that you will honor the Lord's Day, that you will honor the Bible, that you will honor God. The best way that you can honor the Lord is to attend church today. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we give to you a special and cordial invitation to worship the Lord with us. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. The textbook of Worth Baptist Sunday School is the Bible, the Word of God. We are now in a series of studies surveying the entire Bible. Today, our lesson will be a survey of the Gospel according to Mark. We believe that this would be interesting, enlightening, and informative for you and for your family. There's a class for every member of the family, for every age and every grade level. Our motto is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. We believe that you would enjoy yourself today in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11 and our Sunday evening worship service at 7. It would be our joy to have you and your family worship the Lord with us today here at Worth Baptist Church. If you're looking for a church that believes in the Bible, that preaches the Bible, and that believes in the old-fashioned way, you'll find it here at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our church is easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and from Tarrant County. You can reach us by the Poly Freeway, that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. We are just one block east of the 4400 block of Wichita Street. Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street here in Fort Worth. And we would be happy to hear from you this week by mail. We have but one way of knowing that this broadcast reaches you and is a blessing to your heart and to your life. If you'll write us this week, we will send you free and postage paid one of our booklets entitled Times Like These. Or perhaps you'd like the booklet entitled The Bible Is Right. These can be yours free and postpaid by simply writing this week to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Challenge of the Church. I shall read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But first, I invite you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, we truly thank Thee today for the Bible. We thank Thee for freedom of worship. We thank Thee that we can voice the gospel today by means of this radio station. We thank Thee for everyone who has tuned our way. Truly, Thou knowest every heart. Thou knowest every home and every business, every automobile into which this broadcast will go today. Thou knowest the heartbeat. Thou knowest how near eternity some are this moment. Thou knowest those who have all but given up. We pray that today's broadcast would give them a new leash on life. We pray that this message in this hour would bring salvation to the hearts of many as they turn by faith to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the churches of our city today. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, we pray that it might be preached with power. And may there be a thirsting and a hungering in the hearts of the people of our city to know Christ and to hear the Word of God. Bless now, we pray, this message as it fills the air and fills the hearts of those who attuned our way. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. And now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I am speaking today about that which is dearest to my heart, and I believe that I would not be too presumptuous to say that it is the thing that is dearest to the heart of God. I am speaking of the church. My message is entitled, The Challenge of the Church. I confess to you that I am too ignorant to speak wisely, and yet I pray that I would be too wise to speak ignorantly about this most important subject. I am zealous for the church. I long to see it grow. I long to see it be magnified. I long to see it enlarge its tents. I long to see the church prosper and reach many people for Christ in the closing days of this age. I wish today in my message to re-emphasize that which has been de-emphasized by many in our society and in our culture. There are those who say that the church is really not necessary in the 20th century. But beloved, I come to you today without apology, without hesitation, without fear of contradiction, to tell you that the church is most important. In fact, it is more important today than it has ever been in all of its history. I shall speak of three things concerning the challenge of the church today. First, I speak of the foundation of the church. Second, I speak of the function of the church. And third, I shall speak of the future of the church. Let us then observe, first of all, the foundation of the church. The church had its origin with Christ. He is the founder and the foundation. I have no time for those who say that the church existed before Christ. Any church before Christ is too early. Any church after Christ is too late. Listen to the testimony of Jesus Himself in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16 at verse 18. Jesus said, "Upon this rock," speaking of Himself, "I will build my church." And beloved, what a building it is. It has a solid foundation. It has steadfast walls. It has a sheltering roof. Every stone in the building of the church is blood washed. Every stone in the building of the church shines like a polished diamond. Every stone in the building of the church sparkles like the gems of heaven. The church came into existence at no small cost. It is true that salvation is free, but beloved, it is not cheap. The price of the church and the price that Jesus Christ paid to bring the church into existence is beyond human comprehension. It cost Jesus Christ His life. He died on the cross to bring about the church. Indeed, there is no life for the church until there's death for Christ. Paul put it this way in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He purchased the church with his own blood. The church is the body of Christ, a holy organism. The church is the bride of Christ, a holy union. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit, a holy dwelling. The church is the pillar and ground of truth, a holy trust. The church is in a class by itself. The church is not to be classed or classified with the government or with a school or with the club or with the lodge or even with the home. It stands alone. The church is the agent through which Christ continues what he began while on the earth in the days of his flesh. The church is the instrument through which Christ evangelizes the world. The church is the salt through which Christ preserves the truth. The church is the light through which Christ shines in the darkness. And the church is the tool through which Christ makes bad men good and good men better. I am dedicated to the proposition that the church is supreme in the 20th century. You see, when Christ died, he died for the church. When Christ commissioned, he commissioned the church. When Christ sent the Comforter, he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to the church. When Jesus Christ communicated, he communicated with the church. And when Jesus Christ comes again, he will come for the church. I am dedicated further to the proposition that the church is right. There is so much said in these days about what's wrong with the church. Let me tell you today what is right with the church. The church is the house where God abides. It must be right. The church is the stage from which God displays his glory. It must be right. The church is the bounty from which God dispenses all his blessings. Indeed, the church must be right. The church is the haven of rest for all the sin-sick souls of Adam's race. It must be right. Furthermore, I am dedicated to the proposition that the church deserves the first place in your life. You should regard the church with reverence because of its holiness. There is nothing more holy than the church, because as we stated earlier, the church is the body of the Lord Jesus. It is the bride of Christ. It is indeed holy and should be regarded with reverence because it is holy. You should regard the church with gratitude because of the blessings that you have derived from it. You might say, but preacher, I've never gained anything from the church. The church has never done anything for me. But wait a moment. What if all the churches were taken out of your community? What if all the church doors were closed? What if the mouths of all the preachers were stopped? What if there was no gospel, no light, no salvation, no Bible, no restraint of evil in this present evil world? Beloved, you are indebted to the church. And I trust today that you would reevaluate your thinking, your attitude toward the church. Give God a chance in your life as he speaks to you through the church. You should regard the church with respect because of its sanctity. You see, the church is the only organism in the world today that has as its head the Lord Jesus, that has as its commission the evangelization of the world, that has as its textbook the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, I am dedicated to the proposition that in your life, whoever you are, wherever you might be, whatever your status in life, the church deserves first place in your thinking, in your planning, in your program, and in the entire operation of your life. You see, the church either deserves all that you have or it deserves nothing that you have. The church cannot be built by tired Christians with leftovers. The church must have the first fruits of the income. The church must have the first of your energy, your time, your talent, your strength, simply because it deserves it. What if you treated your home and your family and your job as some of you treat the church? I fear that if you did, your home would be mortgaged, your family would be separated, your job would be lost. Why not resolve this moment that you'll put the church in proper perspective in your life and begin now to honor Christ through the church in this day and in this hour when the church is needed in your life and in your heart more than ever before. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't need the church. But wait, when someone gets sick in your home, what's the first thing you think of? The church. When someone wants to get married in your family, what do you think of first? The church. When someone dies in your family, what do you think of first? The church. I submit to you today that you do need the church. You need the church today. You will need the church tomorrow. You need the church in prosperity. You'll need the church in poverty. You need the church in sickness and health, in life and in death. You need the church. So put the church in proper perspective. Give God first place in your life as you go to church today, renewing your vows to support, to believe in, and to attend the church of your choice. A Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Now I speak secondly of the function of the church. The church has the most important and the most unique function of any group in all the world. The church has been entrusted with a priceless treasure. The church is involved in an eternal business. The church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. I share with you my own personal conviction of what the function of the church is today. First of all, the function of the church is to reach people. Secondly, the function of the church is to teach people. Not just to teach them, but to teach them the Word of God. And then the function of the church is to preach to people. And we have but one message at Worth Baptist, and that is the message of redeeming grace. How that Jesus Christ came into the world, born of a virgin, lived a sinless, holy life, died upon the cross a sacrificial, substitutionary, vicarious death in your behalf, in your stead. This is the message of the gospel, how that Jesus Christ died and was buried, and on the morning of the third day, He arose again, triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. This is the message that the world needs today. This is the message of our church. This is the message of Christianity. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message that I give you in this hour. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the Savior of the world. Yes, to reach the people, to teach the people, and to preach to the people is the threefold function of the church. The ultimate goal of the church is to win the lost to Christ. If the Sunday school does not function to win the lost, it malfunctions. If the choir does not function to win the lost, it malfunctions. If the deacons do not function to win the lost, they malfunction. If the pastor does not function to win the lost, he malfunctions. If you as a member of the church do not function to win the lost, you malfunction in your spiritual life. Someone has said that in every church there are two classes of people, the saints and the ain'ts. Which are you? In order for your church to function properly, you must function properly. Did you know that a survey shows that 5% of all the reported church members do not even exist? 10% cannot be found? 20% never pray? 25% never read the Bible? 30% never attend church? 40% never give to any cause in the church? 50% never go to Sunday school? 60% never go to church on Sunday night? 70% never give to missions? 75% never engage in any church activity? 80% never go to prayer meeting? 90% never have family worship? And 95% of all church members never win a soul to Christ? Beloved, we should reevaluate our attitude toward and our belief in the church in this 20th century. I speak finally and briefly of the future of the church. It is fabulous. It is fantastic. It is found in the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is the future of the church, with Christ in heaven, forever. May I ask you a personal question? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you trusted Him? If not, I hope that even this moment, right now, that you'll bow your head, pray the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and God will save you even now. If you are a Christian and you are not in church in Sunday school and not going to the house of God as you should, why not resolve today will be a new beginning in your life and you will accept the challenge of the church. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.